The opinions expressed on End Time do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Impro Mafia. But just because I'm wholly accountable for my actions isn't going to stop me. Impro Mafia presents End Time!
Welcome to End Time, a podcast for improvisers and aspiring improvisers. I'm Dan Beeston, Impro Mafia's resident tech guy and designer.
And I'm Greg Robotham. I'm a nameless cog in the committee. Damn, I told you my name. Bugger. It's all over now.
So, Greg, welcome back to End Time.
Yes, thank you very much.
I've had craving to have you back on the show.
I'm a craving. Excellent.
That is to say, a person.
Oh, that's right.
They were very eager, very abdomen.
Cool. Well, is it like a real craving, or is it one of those like pregnant woman cravings where we must have like chocolate and anchovies? Ugh! It's like a really disgusting craving.
Do we have any chocolate and anchovies?
Are you pregnant?
I hope not.
I better
throw myself down some stairs just to make sure.
Stop now. It's not funny.
It's a wonderful form of birth control. Yes. Every time I sleep with someone, I always make sure I throw them down some stairs.
I thought you had to say every time you sleep with someone, you throw yourself down some stairs. That's even more interesting. I couldn't have slept with you, Your Honor. I had all my bones broken at the time. So,
interesting.
Mm.
Does that discount DNA evidence?
I think it'll make people think that you're much more...
Or a victim.
Yes, that's it. That she threw me down the stairs after she was not raped. What? What are we talking about? This is not improv. This is something else. This is called End Time. This is Dan's terrifying sex life.
That's a different podcast. A different site.
With
different pictures.
Nice.
All right, well, what's been going on in the world of improv then? Last time we had Deborah Frances White on the show, and she was just about to do her stand-up show, or her one-woman show.
Yes.
And which we both went along to, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
It was marvellous, very fun.
And be partly involved in.
I know, isn't it? Yes, because she just happened to pull two improvisers out of the crowd. Because, of course, improvisers put their hands up first. However, everyone else is like, oh, I'm terrified of the scary woman and her funnies. The improvisers go, I desperately crave stage time, even if it is for this woman. Argh.
I'm going to railroad this performance and go off on my own one-man show.
The funny thing was the two improvisers who did get up, you and
Frank,
you could tell they're improvisers because you were trying not to be that keen to be on stage. I could tell that you were playing the whole, oh, we don't really know what's going on, and oh, we're just audience members. But the real audience member, I mean, not saying your plans, but you just happen to be watching it. But the audience member who wasn't a performer anyway, you could tell he was utterly shit scared that he was there, and he desperately wanted to get off stage. In the end, just got off stage. He just walked off stage. So it was quite funny to watch you and Frank and then this other gentleman sort of how experienced you were.
I actually made a conscious decision to go, oh, I've got to look kind of awkward. Like, try to act like I'm not a plant.
It's like Superman pretending to be Clark Kent. I could save everyone instantly, but I have to like fumble around a bit and take my clothes off quickly and like, slowly. And like,
I did wear my glasses on stage.
That's right. There you go. You're not wearing them now. He's not wearing his glasses, audience. He's in Superman mode.
Her show involves a fair bit of impro stuff, or ad-libbing, at any rate.
Yes. Well, she's, of course, a very strong improviser who's written a book, as she said. Was that your last one, or your one before?
That was it.
Yes, and she promoted her own book on Amazon.com, the Impro Handbook, which I'm going to promote, because I like to promote her. Not that if you were going to buy it, you wouldn't have bought it from her without asking me if I was going to buy it. So
you are such a brown nose.
I am. Well, not, I just happen to like the people. Tom and Deborah are sort of good friends. And if I don't do a podcast and at least mention them once, then I feel I haven't achieved something that day. So it's always a good thing. But yes, she was very good. She was very, very good.
It was very odd. Like I know that before I started doing impro, if I'd ended up on stage, I would have just been shitting myself. Yeah. Mostly shitting myself going, oh, I've got to be funny. I've got to try really hard to be funny.
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I used to freeze up on stage. Nowadays, you just forget that it's there. It's after doing improv for so many years in theatre and things like that, you walk on the stage and 100 people are watching you and you just go, yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference to me anymore. It's only once recently I got worried walking on a stage, and that was during the wake of Simon Chesterfield. I think I said to you, I'm actually slightly nervous at the moment. It's the first time in a long time. But that's because it was a long format and we hadn't done it before. But as soon as I got on stage, there was no more fear. It was just all disappeared in the actual performance. Some people say that they prefer the fear, and I don't think I do. I think that, well, if I wanted it, I'd have it. It just seems to have gone away now. So that's good. That's a very good thing for me. That's how I do it anyway.
Yeah, no, I like to have the fear. I very rarely get it these days. But whenever I do have the fear, I get that sort of extra surge of energy.
Oh, okay. Yep.
To do exciting stuff on stage.
For me, that's just drugs. Heavy drug use. You know, caffeine, cocaine.
We should have a talk after this podcast.
Children. You know, it's all good.
Children?
Children.
Oh,
yeah.
Children.
Yeah, chillins.
Oh, yeah. No, I had some bad children once.
Can't eat a whole one.
Split cut with something very old.
Yeah.
But getting up in that show of Debs, like, well, I mean, we've performed on that stage before, and I think we performed like the day after on that stage. But I felt more comfortable on stage in front of everyone than I did in the audience, where I kept feeling the urge to shout something out.
Yes.
I've got like a low-grade Tourette's.
We're programmed as improvisers, I think, to respond to requests.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone goes, can I get a name of a favourite city? And you go, oh, Amsterdam, or whatever. You just instantly do it, you know, because you know they require it. So when someone asks a rhetorical question, how is everyone tonight? You have those who go, I'm fine! It's very important, I tell you! Because it's obviously going to be part of your show, and it's not. They don't really care. But though she did, her show was based heavily on what people called out to her, and also having single men in the audience, which is a bit of a problem, because most of us were in relationships, which is strange. Improvisers in relationships. There you go.
Yeah,
we've reached that stage.
Imagine if you sent that message back in time about 6 years.
I know.
The audience was stacked full of improvisers, which is a shame because that meant that there were no single men in the audience.
That's right. There were lots of people staring and laughing about the crazy sub-future that we'd all be sort of going into. This crazy future where Hitler's brain rules the world. yeah, it was a good show, though. She's coming back next year, hopefully. We don't know what to set up. Natalie will be hopefully setting that up. And it'll be good to go to people. She'll do it longer, not just one night only. She'll have a run. And it might be that show. It might be a new one. So that'd be good, too, just to see her stuff. It's good to see a comedian. I feel in Brisbane we get sort of local comedians, which is fine.
Yep.
And we get big international stars as well. We get like famous people. Eddie Izzard coming or whoever coming to teach us stuff to make us laugh. But it was good to get Deborah, who's sort of on the cusp of fame, like serious fame. She's at that moment where she's done the Melbourne Comedy Festival, she's done the Edinburgh Comedy Festival, and people know her. In her area, she's known, but outside, like in Australia, you wouldn't know the name.
No. But so we can get in really chummy with her.
That's
and
right.
And ride those coattails.
That's right. Well, that's always been my ideas in this world, is to find everyone's coattails to success. If I'm hanging out with you, it's probably because I see some potential that one day you might drag me kicking and screaming into fame and fortune.
That's the kindest thing you've ever said about
Look,
me.
You've got technology here that I don't have, so maybe it makes gold or something. I don't know. I'm looking at the microphone and everything here, so I keep thinking maybe it's like a magic machine.
I hope it makes gold.
That'd be good.
That'd be lovely.
Not just bloody stupid podcasts. Bloody hell. There you go.
Oh, no.
I hate it so much I've come back, listeners, so I think I do both protest too much.
Yeah, you are one of the few people who've actually chased me up and gone, so are you going to get me back on again?
Am I?
Yeah, pretty much.
Was I drunk? I don't know about that. You're making it sound much more
drunk right now.
I'm always drunk. It's the only way to get through this world.
I know that there was an audience member back at the Hub, but you know a girl called Rebecca, who I think had Tourette's.
Yes.
Because there are endowments games where some character on stage, they've got to try to guess something.
That's right.
And of course the audience knows what they've got to guess. And I remember one night where she called out like one of the answers, and I'm like, I've always been this close to doing that myself and going, no, can't,
it's
mustn't.
Yeah, when they work it out. It's nice when they get that involved, but it is pretty funny when people do it over and over again. You kind of go, it's not a guessing game for the audience. Seeing we told you the answer, it's not that hard to work out what the answer is, because I told you 5 minutes ago.
Maybe she forgot.
Well, that's right.
And then she figured it out.
Short term, that means she has really good like mid to long term memory, but really bad short term memory.
Yeah.
Sounds like brain damage. By the way, Rebecca, I don't think you have brain damage, honestly. It's like, please don't sue us if you're listening.
I don't know. I met her. She's one of the numerous women who have thrown a drink in my face.
Nice. There's a coffee table book.
Yeah.
Women Who Have Thrown Drinks in My Face by Dan Beeson. You can photograph them in action.
I like that.
That'd be really good.
Yeah.
And just
go, and if I don't have enough photos to fill the book, just go out and start.
That's right. That's right. Or in your case, just talking to them. I'm sure it'll work out well.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
God, it's no fun when you let me hit you. You know what I mean? It's like I realize that it's a hollow victory. Hey, Greg, can you say something nasty? I'm setting myself up. Okay, something nasty. Yeah, I just feel a bit. It's all.
What sort of podcast are you expecting this to be?
No,
it's like S&M, but the vocal equivalent. Oh, hurt me emotionally,
right.
Baby.
All right, what's next?
Open mic impro is still going down at O'Malley's.
Yes,
we haven't been thrown out yet.
That's going really well, actually.
It has been going really well.
People seem to really like it and enjoy it and come and see it and stay to drink, which is good for the pub. So it's good for everyone, really. The performers,
except for the livers in the audience.
We don't like them anyway. Well, they regenerate, so that's their problem. If they're going to regenerate, then we're going to try and kill them. Anything that regenerates, I try to kill. It's my motto. It's my family's crest, in fact.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that.
Hmm.
I'll ride those coattails.
That's right. But O'Malley's is going very well, and it's nice that we've brought it back. It was one of those interesting decisions that was made at the start of the year when we lost Stone's Corner, shed Stone's Corner, I think, because I think we were technically pushed, but we were ready to jump, if you know what I mean.
They got rid of us. They didn't renew our contract. Yes. And everyone's reaction was, okay.
Yay. I think some people, I think Wade also made a comment about it, 2 weeks, if he hadn't been pushed, then 2 weeks later they would have stopped it anyway. So it was within the month of leaving, but anyway. But at the time, the decision was made to make more theatre styles, like the arts theatre and the stage door. And there was a bit of hoo-ha and people back and forth about that. Mm-hmm. And different people had different ideas, and that was good. But we went down a certain path. But it is good that we've got the O'Malley's back, because back when we first made the decision, we didn't have all the new players.
No.
We've had two lines.
Two groups of rookies go through.
And they need a place to play. It's very important to play.
Because you'll never learn what you need to learn in workshops.
No. No.
Actually, that's going to reflect poorly on the workshops. Wade's going to get happy. He's going to come back and go, Dan, did you tell them that they don't need to go to workshops?
No, it's not the fact that they need to do workshops. It's the matter of you just learn the tools in the workshops.
Yeah.
This is a hammer. This is a saw. Knowing these things does not make you a carpenter. Mm. That's just the way it is. And it's like anything. People do many years of, what's the word?
Carpentry.
Not carpentry. Apprenticeship. You're an apprentice for a long time, and then you become what it is. And it's the same thing. People think, just because you've done a 6-week course, 10-week course, that you're suddenly an improv person. And no, it just means you have the doorway that you can go through, and that's important to realize. You're not an expert at the start. And in fact, after 8 years, you may not be an expert. it's something that you've just got to be aware of. So you've got to play. You have to play. Mm. That's very important.
And I always find that when you play on stage, you end up using a whole bunch of skills that you wouldn't use in a workshop anyway. And you're under a lot more pressure from that you wouldn't be in a workshop.
Yes.
Suddenly you have an audience there who reacts to you telling crap jokes, and suddenly you start telling crap jokes instead of creating story like you're supposed to be.
Yeah, that can be it as well. But you bring in different skills. That's right. Pretty much, I mean, for good and for evil, you bring in different skills. If that skill is punning, then you pun. And some people I know who pun a lot, not so much anymore, but they used to pun a lot because they're good at it. And of course you fall back on what you're good at. It's something that you need to think about. But also, on the other hand, you shouldn't also say, oh no, I can't use my outside skills. Because if you only use the things that Wade taught you in the workshop, then you only have like 7 things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, all he's doing is pointing you in the direction of the improv. He's not saying, I've rebadged you as an improv king or something like that. So you've got to bring in something beyond the training. If you don't have something when you started training, then you're not going to be a good improviser, in my opinion.
Mm. Now, you've played down at Open Mic Impro now?
I have, yes. Yes.
And how'd that go?
It went very well, I think. It was Dave Massingham and I as the experienced players, and we had four inexperienced players, and that's a good number, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that we continue running the show in that format to try and train people, or at least help people become better players through example.
Hmm. I'd like to see less reliance on the veteran players and some of the really good rookies turning up and performing like 2 times every 3 weeks type of thing.
Yes.
You know, to support and learn from there. But you do need the veterans. In fact, that's one of our topics tonight, so we might as well move straight on to
that. A segue.
Yeah, which is integrating experienced players into a rookie show.
Yes. I'm very, very strong-minded about this. I have a lot of opinion about this one. I'm training to be a teacher, an honest-to-God high school teacher. And
poor motherfuckers.
Well, yeah, and I think it's a bit of both ways. We'll both be punishing each other, but that's in the future. But obviously, I'm not an improv teacher. I don't feel confident enough to try and teach people how to do improvisation. I don't feel that, but I'm going to be a teacher.
Well, you never really learned how to do improv. You just kind of spawned into reality knowing how to do it.
What? I don't know.
It's very frustrating.
I don't think so. I think it comes down to implicit and explicit learning. So it came down to maybe I had some sort of subconscious. It developed in my subconscious. I don't know. I don't want to make it sound like that I knew any more than anyone else, because I didn't, and I don't, and I don't do anything different. No, I do it differently, but it's not better or worse. I think it's just...
He's a savant. An evil savant.
It's nothing to do with improv. I think it's people who listen to this now are probably going, oh, for fuck's sake, Greg Rowatham, a savant. it would annoy them a lot to hear that. It's just that I don't have much fear of the stage. I think that's my big thing. I don't care about it looking shit on stage. It's never worried me, ever. To the day from day one. That's the big one. The whole suck and love to fail. But this isn't about me. I'm not here to talk about me. I'm here to talk about the whole idea of why you put in an experienced person. You made a comment before, maybe having the experienced people or less of the experienced people having more of the other people.
Yep.
The experienced people at O'Malley's, in my opinion, aren't there to butter their own egos. They're there as a...
If they're doing it right, at any rate.
That's right. This is the important thing. If they're doing it right, and it should be explained, that they're there as a scaffold for the other people. And scaffolding is what I wanted to talk about today. There's a big thing about teaching, and it's called scaffolding. When you teach someone the skills of anything, then basically you must then show them how to do it. You explain and then you show. You don't just explain if they go into it. An example in the world would be a polar bear, let's say, teaching its cub. They don't just go, rah, 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 growl, growl, rah, 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 which is bear for go over there and kill that seal. They actually go and do it, and the baby bears follow them. If you ever watch the David Attenborough stuff like I do, the baby seals will follow, the baby bears will follow them, a parent, as they smash the ice and grab the harp seal and kill it and eat it. And you'll see the babies practicing the movements. They are making lots of hand gestures. they smash the ice, but they're only playing, but they're learning the skill, the scaffolding. They watch the parent do it. The parent explains what has to be done. You practice it in play, and then you put those skills to use. This is no different to humans. And we always learn better if we scaffold what we're doing, if someone scaffolds it. So when we play...
So, just to make sure I'm following you,
mm-hmm.
the rookies are the baby bears.
Yes.
You're a father bear.
Yes.
And the seals are our audience.
That's
the
right.
Dead seals are our audience.
That's right. Hiding under the pack ice, waiting to be eaten.
Excellent. Good. Okay, I'm on board.
Comedy eating. That's what it is. So what you do is, as an experienced player, your job is to scaffold the experience for them, is to make it, to make sure that there is something for the people to look at. So you know, this is how an experienced person does it. Once again, this might not be the best way to do it, or even the way they want to do it. I'm not saying that we're better or that we're better improvisers, because some of those new players are friggin' fantastic.
But don't let them hear that.
No, well, no, they shouldn't. No, don't believe that. Some of them are really, really good. But they still will make mistakes, because we've had many years of experience of making mistakes.
Yes.
And we didn't have this. For right or wrong, we have had a lot of being thrown into the deep end and being told, oh, well, here's a rookie show, go! And though at the time it seemed like the best idea, because I didn't understand all this stuff now that I know now.
Trial by fire and all that.
And you go, oh, I must learn and I'll be great. And you go, no, all you do is you make the same mistake over and over again if you make a mistake. And you might not even realize you don't reinforce the good behaviors. You just... Everything is reinforced, like bad, good, and indifferent behavior. So you never get much better. It takes a lot of work to become better. But by having an experienced player play on stage with you, you're hopefully going to pick up good ways of dealing with stagecraft. So maybe acting, also the big rules of don't gag and accept all offers.
Yep.
But so I think it's very important to have those experienced players there. They shouldn't dominate, though, and they should always back up. If it's their ego that's on stage, then... it won't work. Then it's just, you know, it'll be Greg Robotham, the amazing guy, and some other people performing, and that's not cool. You have to pull to the back and don't be the main person, and that's what we have to learn to do as experienced players.
Yeah. I was very disappointed the other day because I've been in beginner shows before where three of us have had to do a song, and both the two beginners have stepped to the back of the stage, and I've been able to do an entire song by myself, which I love. And I got that opportunity the other night, and the two players were there, and I was like, all right, so you guys okay with song? And both of them were like, oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's best.
Like, oh, all right. Well, I guess I'll just be ready to jump in and do that third brilliant verse at the end.
Round it all up.
Round it all off and look like a bit of a hero. Motherfuckers went brilliantly.
Good, that's fantastic.
I went to the back of the stage miming guitar playing. I never got a chance. A word didn't get out.
Poor Dan.
It's very
you never get any chance on stage, do you? Ever. You never on stage.
Never do. And when I do get up there, I've got to wear a bag on my head or something.
That's right, yeah, everyone laughs. It's a similar thing happened to me with my O'Malley's experience. It didn't happen quite like that. I stepped up and I stepped backwards to let them sing, and both the other two people just went, no. And it was lots of music playing but no singing. So in the end, I stepped forward and started the first verse, and then the second person took over from the second verse, because I just stared at her until she sang. I wasn't going to let her get away with that. I created the chorus and then passed it to her. And she did quite well. Yeah. She did very well, in fact, for someone who's terrified and didn't want to do it. She did very well. And then the last person, Frank, he did very well by bringing the whole song down. He tied in our two verses, and I was very impressed with that. Though he had no confidence to start it, he managed to end it better than I would have ended it, and I was very impressed by that. It's confidence, once again. It's always confidence. These people have to understand that it doesn't make any difference how you're not going to be brilliant. The audience will love what you're doing as long as you're confident. If you smile and look like you want to be there, then you can get away with substandard playing, as I have done
it's
for
amazing
years.
Amazing the things you can do if you do it with a smile and a sort of naive grin on your face.
That's right. And it's when you do something bad and you get rewarded for it, I've learned now to, because you make a dumb joke or whatever and you gag like a bastard, and then the audience goes hooray, and then you kind of you go, no, don't. I really enjoy turning to the audience and going, don't reward me for that, don't reward me. And they don't not listening, but it's that whole, you've reached that stage now, you go, I did a bad thing and everyone's clapping. So it's back in the old days that would have been a big plus for me, but now you're gonna go,
it's justifying the means.
Yeah. And it's all depends what you're there for. When this is a very long and involved subject, but if you're there, some impro is a bit more gaggy than others, and some isn't. I mean, The Wake wasn't very gaggy, and we didn't do a lot of gag. There were stories in that, and there was comedy, but it wasn't. It was quite in depth because the story is what you were there for. Yeah. But if you're doing a 1 minute scene, then it's, you know, death in a minute. It's normally going to end in some kind of gag / tag / comedy moment. you know, call it whatever you like. You can't get away from
that. I like that comedy moment. Debonair.
Oh, well, thank you.
You all right? Yes, I just had a comedy moment.
You would have noticed because everyone
was
laughing.
Did you have a comedy moment too? No, I'm afraid I didn't.
You're on your own on that one. Oh, well, as long as I did. We're back to your sex life again, aren't we?
Comedy moment.
Yes, but we have to support our new players because they will leave otherwise, and that would be very sad. It's something that I really enjoyed recently is all the new people playing and playing with them and talking to them and just hearing their ideas and getting their other information, not the improv information. I mean, I'm not really interested. This sounds terrible. I don't really care who you've performed with or how many shows you've done in the past.
Yep.
It doesn't matter to me. Or if you're a comedy genius who does stand-up or whatever your background is. That doesn't interest me. What interests me is finding out what sort of person you are. That sounds very touchy-feely. Mm. But you've talked to people and you go, what do you do for a living? I know it's a pretty naff thing to ask, but they tell you and then you get onto the important things of what they enjoy and what they laugh at and what they find interesting and what they want to do with improv. And that's interesting to me because that proves who they are to me and how they'll perform on stage. And once you've talked to someone a few times, you can normally tell, I think you can anyway, but you can normally say whether they're going to be good on stage with you. I'm not saying in general.
Yep.
Or not. And so some people don't gel. I'm not saying that, once again, because you're good or bad. It's just...
Yeah, you just don't click with certain
people. You
don't click.
And you could really enjoy them, too. It's not even someone you dislike. Yeah. And you just go, damn it, there's something about that person always just... You always seem to railroad them, or they seem to railroad you. But there are certain people that you play with, and you just... It's easy. It's so easy. And it's nothing to do with experience that way, too. I played with some newer players and didn't even realize that they were new. Which is another point, before I'll go into that, too. As a player, I don't worry about your experience. This is all about me at the moment, but I think it's anything I know of is from my point of view.
That's why you're the guest.
Yay! when you get on stage... People are going to disagree with this. They're going to go, that Greg's lying. But I'm not. When you get on stage with me, and I think with other players as well, but I'll only talk from my point of view because that's all I'm sure of.
There's a lot of disclaimers here.
I'm being careful, yes.
No, just fuck it. throw caution to the wind.
Throw caution to the
tell
wind.
Tell those fuckers what you think of them.
Well, it's not even what I think of them. It's when you step on stage. When I step on stage with people, I don't think about their inexperience or experience or what they've done to me in the past on a stage or not on stage. You just play. So every show that I've been in, I don't sit there and go, oh, no, it's blah, blah, and they've done blah, and we've had a long history of blah or whatever crazy shit it is.
I hate that blah.
It's just you play, and if a person plays well, and you play well as well, then it's enjoyable, and that's the important point. I think people should stop getting sort of hung up on what people did in the past and what people did on stage, or that person likes to do this, that, and the other.
Or in the Lily Street forums, for instance.
Yes, I wasn't even mentioning that. I didn't even think about that, but yes, fair enough. It's something that it's really important just to get on stage and actually perform and just perform and be in the moment. If you're not in the moment, then what are you doing? Like if you're not there... Make it
go
sense.
And write something if you're not there in the
moment. Well, yeah, and there's that too, of course. There's a whole, maybe write a one-woman comedy show or something.
Yeah, I could write a one-woman comedy show.
You could, but throwing women downstairs, that'd be really good. That'd work. I think 50% of the people would find it quite funny. Anyway, I think I've talked in circles a lot. Hopefully I've made some point at some point about a point.
Oh, there's only about 3 points in the entire 12 episodes of End Time to this date, so I wouldn't worry too much about that.
Marvellous. Good to hear.
Now, are you training to be a teacher?
I am, yes.
And so do you use much impro in teaching your kids?
All of it. It's absolutely disturbing how much I improvise when I've done my pracs. Yes, I have.
We're doing maths in a minute.
Well, not the games.
We're going to do a time warp exam. I'm going to call out random time changes, and you have to skip to that stage of the exam. No,
tell me how you're feeling. I feel like shit. I hate you.
Hooray.
You've passed. It's no fear of classrooms. I have no fear of talking to people in context. I should say that. If you come up to me in the street and I don't know who you are, and you just start talking to me, there's a good chance I look very disturbed and scuttle under a rock, because I find out of context quite difficult to deal with. But in context, I have no problem at all.
Sounds like that pot calling the kettle black.
Pardon?
Your entire being is out of context.
I see. Maybe to you, and thank you very much.
That's my context.
Well, what I mean is, if I know I'm meant to be performing in some respect, then yeah. I can switch on the performance. But if I don't know, if I'm just shopping and suddenly people accost me, sometimes people ask me questions in shops and I get confused. So people, I go up and buy something and I'm in my own headspace, and you put down the fruit or whatever you're buying, and they'll say, "Hello, sir, how are you?" And I'll answer, "Two thanks," or "I'm not too sure how the." Yes, I'm fine. How are you? And you realize you just sound
like... I have to rhyme with them?
You're total response? Like... No. It's not a performance thing. It's just the brain's not there. Suddenly you're going, what's that human thing? Oh, yeah, interaction. Oh, yeah, you got to pretend like everyone's really cool with everything. I don't want to kill you. I don't want to kill you either. Excellent. We don't want to kill each other. Hooray. You know, it's the whole monkey thing.
Although I am starting to drift.
That's right. The more you ask the question. But anyway, the teaching thing. Yes, I organize my lesson plans. If anyone is hearing this who could destroy my career, of course, I do organize lesson plans. But I do improvise. When I go in, I don't look at it again. I remember it. And I go in there and I just make it up as I go along. Not the information. I mean the lesson. Because let's face it, you can write the best lesson plan in the world and it won't survive contact with the enemy, i.e. the children. It always changes. And if you can't roll with it, you're stuffed. Then you're just one of those teachers who goes, I don't know what's going on. And the kids know very quickly.
I have a suitcase full of busy work.
And there's the other big one too. Teaching requires you to be an actor, requires you to have some sort of rapport with the students. I'm not saying be their friend. You're never going to be their friend. You're their teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But you... And I don't think they'd be cool. Like, I dislike cool teachers. I find...
I don't think there's any such thing, is there?
Oh.
When I went to high school, I don't remember cool teachers.
I don't remember any teachers of any kind of young age. A lot of the ones I'm working with... Remember, I'm a mature age student at uni. And a lot of them aren't. They're all 20-year-olds. And so they've just got out of school. So they kind of... Especially phys ed teachers. Sorry, phys ed teachers, but you do this. They're kind of beautiful.
Hot.
And they're beautiful Adonises moving around, being absolutely beautiful. And of course, they fall back to old high school. And they stand there and you can see them talking to people like as if they're a student. And that's their way and that's cool. But I see they're going, well, no, you've got to be able to command them and crush their heads like bugs.
I think my second favorite moment of high school was realizing that I didn't have to do health and physical education again at the end of year 12, end of year 10. Just like, okay, that's it.
I never have to do it.
You can choose to. No, thanks.
Ah,
I'm done.
We had to do certain sports days and things. And I used to go and hide. And this was interesting because my mother took a big notice that took a lot of attention towards my schooling. And she would actually do tuck shop and things like that. She was always working in the library or whatever she was doing.
Yep.
So on some days, or many days, she would be at the sports day and I wouldn't be. I'd be in the school grounds. I wasn't wagging school, but I'd be sitting in the library or even not even that nerdy. I'd just be under a building somewhere, quietly entertaining myself. I'd always be away from the horrible, nasty people.
Scampering through the drywall.
That's right, yes. In the ducks. Damn, we've got a Greg in there. Got a damn mop. Boom, clang. Yeah, it was one of those things. So I was never good with HPE at all, no. I was always a kind of a roly-poly, potato-shaped gentleman. I've never changed body shape as I've got older. I wasn't built for it.
No?
No.
Not a prime athlete?
No. I once scored a try. We played AFL. It was VFL back then. That's how old I am.
Wait, hang on. AFL stands for Australian Football League?
Yes.
So the Van Diemen's?
Yes, that's right. That's how long ago it was. My God, man. Yes, I was a convict back in the day. Ah, dear. Anyway, Victorian Football League, the VFL.
Okay, all right.
Don't you remember the VFL? You're not that much younger than me.
I was never into...
Oh, okay. But even I knew it was called VFL. God, yeah.
I'm soccer.
I still... Football. Now it's football. You have
football.
To call it football. Goal! Anyway, I hate that. God, it annoys me.
Oh, my left ear is bleeding.
Whoops. Oh, and again. Sorry about that. Yes. See, and I met someone passed me the ball. We're running along and I was kind of staring off in the distance as I did. And suddenly this ball.
That was how I fielded in cricket.
Just looking off in the distance.
Staring into the sky and stuff.
And hopefully the red thing would cross your field of vision.
That cloud looks red. Getting closer. Oh, run.
It's big.
Run.
It might hit me. But I got this ball got past me and I ran. Oh, I jogged. Whatever I was doing. My equivalent of running. And I managed to fall across the line as I got crushed by about 800 nasty people. Mm-hmm. And I actually managed to score a try. And I was really impressed. And I was so happy. I was like, I scored a try, you sons of bitches. Like, I was really, really in their face about it. And no one cared because they all scored 800 tries. But that was my first and only try ever. Mm-hmm.
You took that opportunity to be very sportsmanlike.
Yeah, that's
too.
Right. I was a very bad winner. in fact, we lost. But that was at that point, I won.
So you were a winner on a team of losers.
I was. But it all depends if it mattered. I remember all my HPE teachers being very disappointed with me. I once managed to stab someone with a javelin. That was impressive. I turned with it. You know, the whole thing of, like, if you have a gun, you don't... If you're doing gun range stuff, then you don't turn with the gun. They don't ever tell you that with a javelin, you see. You don't turn with a javelin. I had it about...
While you were throwing it?
No. Someone asked me a question. This is how I just don't think about
it. I just imagine you with it back over your head going, 1, 2, Greg, what? Greg?
Oh, God! No, it was in my hand, and it was sitting in front of me, so it was pointing 90 degrees from my body. And I turned. And someone said something, and I turned, and my left hand came with me, and I stabbed him with it. It was a teacher, and I stabbed him in the leg. I mean, it wasn't like, I didn't disembowel him or anything, but, you know, it was enough to make him go, don't, you bastard, ooh, you stabbed me. And I was like, oh, sorry, sir, I didn't mean it, just a little bit pointless, sorry, you know.
Oh, it sounds like a black and white farce or something.
Well, yeah.
Stab. Greg Robotham.
It's like the plank. Yeah, it's like plank. I just keep turning around with a javelin above my head until killing people. But no, I was never very good at that, which is unfortunate. I always wanted to be. People say you should be good at everything, and that's the thing. I always feel bad that I'm not good at running and jumping and climbing trees.
Oh, okay. How are you at hip-hop dancing?
Not as good as you, Dan.
No.
I can crunk.
You can crunk. I'm not sure I know what crunking is, but it doesn't sound graceful.
No, it's not graceful. No. I got explained by Tom, one of our improvisers, Tom, and we bonded on a crunking moment. In fact, he said I was the worst crunker he'd ever seen, and please stop crunking. So now every time I near him, I have to crunk badly.
Is that what that's all about?
That's right.
I've been wondering for weeks.
I just love how he explained. He could do it really well. It's that kind of dancing. It's kind of like angry hip-hopping. It's pretty much, I like to think of it as, if you were born on the streets of, you know, LA or something, and you were an angry man, and you were taught hip hop and shoot people or something, then that's what I think about crunking is.
Pop caps in acid.
Yeah, but it's that kind of, you don't kind of do it gracefully. It's kind of like lots of angry motions and lots of, and it's really kind of, it seems very aggressive to me. And he does it really well, and I don't. But that doesn't stop me from trying it, so it's always fun. Because I think the comedy comes from a small, fat, white guy madly crunking. There's the comedy, isn't it?
It sounds like the sort of dance move that's specifically tailored for white guys.
Yes, yeah, that's right. It was designed for us.
That and the goth two-step.
Oh, God. Oh. Don't start me on that one.
We don't have anywhere near as much goth culture.
No, that's because the emos stole their soul. That's very sad. I dislike emos. I mean, I never thought there'd be anything less manly than a goth, but then emos came along and proved me wrong. So, sorry, emos, but you suck.
Man, if they weren't crying already, you'd have just have made them cry.
I know! They have something to cry about and listen to their Chemical Romance music.
Now, I was very excited when you came to me with your topics today, because you were like, finally we'll get to have some, like, focused... focus talk about impro. And I'm so delighted I was able to drag you down back to my level.
That's right. No, it's fine. Well, I said what I had to say. You couldn't make a 45-minute or 30-minute podcast out of that, surely. It's not something. Maybe you can. You can edit it out so it's really long.
I'll just change the tempo. Instead of speeding it up, I'll slow it down.
That's right.
Hang on. And time! You have been listening to And Time. Better get the door, Greg. Greg has a hidden website at www.somethingsomethingsomething.com. Invisible Spiders, oh my God, be amazed. Because if you check Invisible Spiders on the 1st of November, you will see a brand new website with actual content. Come and see Touched by a Hammer on November the 2nd at the Brisbane Arts Theatre. For news about Impro at Brisbane, go to impromafia.com. Thanks to David Peachy for our theme music. Hosting for Antime is abrasively provided by CivicNet Web Design.
I would also like to point out, this might not make it into the podcast, but I'd also like to point out that mainly there should be a dialogue between players and the writers here and the speakers. I'd love people to hear what other people's thoughts on experienced players and rookie players or inexperienced players. So if there's a web address you could write to, what am I, 90? If there's an email address that you could write to and put your opinions forward, Dan will not tell you what it is.
Email us at dan@impromafia.com. And I will pass your pages of praise onto Greg, the fishing bastard that he is.
Fishing. I'm interested in what people know and want to know. And I'm interested in what people's theories are. Maybe you've listened to this podcast saying, it's all bullshit. And I want to know why. It's interesting. It's no point of sitting as islands, goddammit. Have a dialogue. A dialogue.
Please put together the most offensive email possible. Greg is waiting for your call. No, I'll just hold it the whole time. Wow, chicka bam.
That's right. Hey, Wade, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Just point the microphone at him.
He's terrified.